Part 4. Matt got out of the car on the corner and slapped his hand down on the roof of the car to show he was clear. "Thanks for the ride," he called. Mercedes raised a hand in greeting as she pulled away from the curb. She had barely said a word on the ride over, and Matt was a little worried for her. He could tell that the stress was wearing her down, but he hoped she could hold on for the next few days until the wedding was over. Jim had already told her to take a week's vacation after the ceremony, so she and Charlie could go away for a honeymoon. She looked like she could use the break. Matt slung his bag over his shoulder and looked at Cougar, who had ridden in the back seat and now stood next to him, shaking her head and looking after the car. She was probably thinking the same thing he was.
"Now, don't feel like you have to stick around," Matt said. "I don't want to hear you complain about this. Last time we played, you said it was terribly boring. You can feel free to go back to the spirit world anytime you want."
Cougar rolled her eyes.
"I wish it worked like that. I'm connected to you, Matt. I hear and see everything you see, and when that is 7 straight hours of video games, then that's what I see as well."
"Well, it was the video games that made me worthy, so it can't be all bad. Now come on and keep quiet. I don't want them to think I'm nuts by talking to thin air, like last time."
"All I said was that you should have watched your backs in that corridor. There were clear signs of a trap going in there."
"As if you know anything about Eternal Wanderer," Matt said, as he began walking up the hill towards Brian's door.
The sky overhead had begun to turn a beautiful shade of red, and the sun was slowly dipping below the horizon behind the houses.
"I don't, but I know a lot about instincts. Something told me you were walking into a trap."
"But you telling me that blew the whole game, and that sucked. Just be quiet, okay?"
Cougar made a huffing sound and plodded along next to him without further comments. Matt reached the house where Brian rented the top floor of a 2-story building. A wooden stairway led from the street up the wall to his entrance door, and as Matt climbed it, he could hear the wood creak under his feet. When he reached for the doorbell, he saw that the door was actually ajar and reached for the handle when Cougar gasped,
"Stop! Trap!"
"What? Really?"
Matt said.
"We haven't even loaded the game yet."
"No, fool, not the game. This is a trap. Something's wrong here. I smell blood. Something."
Matt took a step back, and at that moment, the door was opened. A slender, blonde man stood in the door, his long hair in a ponytail and hanging down his back. His face was aristocratic, his skin pale, and his teeth whiter than pearls. He was wearing a white shirt, but the white had spots of red on it, and it didn't take Matt's brain more than a millisecond to make the connection. He pulled back, and his back hit the edge of the stairway platform. He could run down the stairs or even vault over the railing, but the man's eyes held his in a steady gaze. There were odd colors in those eyes. Matt felt his pulse quicken as Cougar apparently pumped some of her juice into his system.
"So good to see you, Matthew," Maurice said. "Please, come on in. I'm afraid we started the party without you, but I hope you won't take offense. Don't worry, no one is dead yet. Come inside, and we'll see what we can do about keeping it that way, shall we?"
Maurice took a step back inside, and Matt saw only his finger curling in a come-along gesture as he walked back into Brian's apartment.
"Trap! Trap!" Cougar hissed. "Call the others! You can't—"
Matt walked forward and inside the apartment. He could feel the energy in his body pulsing like he had his hand on a transformer and felt the electricity making his hair stand on end.
"Give me everything you've got," he whispered as he stepped through the door.
He felt a presence behind him and saw another man This one, with brown hair and a weaker chin than Maurice, closed the door behind him. As he walked the few steps from the front door to Brian's living room, he saw that there were stains of blood on the carpet. Again, not gallons of it, but enough that his heightened senses also registered the coppery smell in the air. Maurice walked to the table in the middle of the room, where the gaming computers all sat, monitors at the center of the table and keyboards facing out in all four points of the compass. Wolf always came early to set up the computers for the game night. Brian, Wolf, and Chong sat on the raggedy couch in the corner. Chong was bleeding from a large wound to his chest. Wolf had bite marks on his arm and shoulder, and Brian had a clump of hair ripped out on the side of his head, giving him a look like someone in a Western who had been partly scalped by Indians. Matt assumed this was the source of most of the blood on the floor and on Maurice's shirt. All three of them looked alive and conscious, although they all looked terrified. The other man behind him stepped forward and took position in the doorway to close off the passage to the front door. Matt looked from his friends to Maurice, who now raised both hands in an apologetic gesture.
"I'm sorry to barge in on your night with your friends, Matthew. To tell you the truth, I don't particularly like hurting someone without a purpose. True, the purpose can sometimes be pure carnage, in which case it's okay and even amusing. But in this case, I have absolutely no reason to hurt your friends. They're not involved in this, and frankly, to me, they are little more than cattle. You have to trust me when I say that they are here only as a means to an end."
"How did you find them? How did you know how to come here?"
Maurice shrugged.
"I've got eyes and ears everywhere, Matthew. Your schedule isn't exactly secret. You come here twice a week to play your games. You even have a group on... what's that thing called, Ernst?"
"Facebook, Maurice,"
Ernst said behind Matt.
"Right. A group on Facebook, where you discuss meeting times and places. You could learn a lot from the French Resistance. Never let the enemy detect a pattern in your movements. I was in it, you know, La Resistance, in 1943. It was an interesting experience. Carte blanche to maim and kill, as long as it was the Germans you killed."
"What do you want?"
Matt said, his voice sounding to his own ears like the day at the beach. He was feeling powerful, fast and strong. He didn't even feel frightened, and he was getting tired of listening to the vampire talk. Maurice spread his arms and smiled.
"Well, you. That's as simple an answer as I can give you. I'm out to take down your friend Jim Corrigan's little company of annoyances. And I must admit, I was unprepared for him having an employee that could use such powerful magic as my men witnessed the other day."
"That wasn't magic," Matt said.
"Rhea isn't a witch. She's a straight-up superhero. If you went toe-to-toe with her..."
Don't spoil it for me!"
Maurice held up a finger like he was giving instructions.
"I'm looking forward to facing her soon enough, and I'll make sure she's no threat to me. However, as far as I can see, you and your other friends, Mr. Picard and Miss Perez, are both completely normal humans. I've had you under careful observation, and none of you throw around cars or shoot lightning bolts from your fingers."
"You'd be surprised," Matt muttered.
"In any case, I decided to start at the bottom and work my way up, as it were. Now, you have a choice, Matthew. You don't mind if I call you Matthew, do you? You can walk out of here and run and get your new friends from Tempest Investigations. I'll wait around, I promise. You can bring them back and we can do a little tête-à-tête right outside in the street, just like in your beloved games. But in this scenario, I will kill all three of your old friends while I wait."
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Maurice cracked his knuckles and looked at the three boys with a mock sad face.
Just talking about it makes me a little hungry. I did taste them already, of course, but nothing that should permanently harm them. I assure you, though, that I will bathe in their blood should you choose to go.
And what if I don't go? Matt said.
He took a step forward toward Maurice, which obviously surprised the vampire. He probably wasn't used to his victims actually walking closer to him.
If you stay here, I'll kill you and make an example of you to your leader, but your friends will be free to go and continue their lives. You have my word as a gentleman on this. They can continue living, at least until I am prince of this city. After that, no human in this city will be guaranteed any kind of lifespan.
Why the hell should I trust you?
Matt said, and heard Cougar growling. Her invisible body was ready to fight, tail beating furiously back and forth, and her mouth open to show her teeth. Maurice actually looked hurt.
I always keep my promises. If there's one thing you can count on, it's that a French gentleman keeps his word. And I give you my word that they can go if you stay behind.
All right.
Matt took a deep breath.
Let them go. I'll stay behind. But I'll defend myself.
Of course you will,
Maurice said.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Even a rabbit sometimes turns and fights when the hounds have it cornered.
He looked at Chung, Wolf, and Brian.
All right, mes petites friandises. You're free to go.
Brian got to his feet and took a couple of steps toward Matt.
Matt, dude, seriously. They came barging in here and we didn't...
I'll explain later, if there is a later.
Matt didn't take his eyes off Maurice, but he could sense Ernst moving away from the door, clearing a path for his friends.
Just get out of here. Get somewhere safe.
Brian looked like he wanted to hug him, but when Ernst bared his fangs and made a hissing sound, he quickly followed Wolf and Chung out through the door. Matt heard the front door slam shut behind them.
So, Matthew,
Maurice said, licking his lips like a man getting ready to sit down to a delicious meal.
It's just the three of us.
Well, four, actually,
Matt said, feeling how his strength made his blood pump faster than ever before. It felt like time was slowing down, and he could see every little detail in slow motion. Every muscle in Maurice's body as he took another step forward. Every hair on Ernst's head as he came at him slowly from behind.
Because you were wrong about one thing. I'm not a rabbit.
His voice dropped in registers, going from his normal speaking voice to something deep and raspy.
I am Cougar!
Matt was aware of Ernst behind him, almost like he could suddenly see the entire room in a sort of predator vision. He spun around, raised his hands, and grabbed Ernst around the wrist. He continued the motion, yanking Ernst off his feet and throwing him across the room, where he hit the wall with a cry of surprise. Matt's muscles felt like they were growing, and he almost expected his shoulders and biceps to tear his shirt apart, like Bruce Banner turning into the Incredible Hulk. Maurice's face had a comical expression, half superiority and half surprise. It was as if he wasn't really aware of what was happening. Matt grabbed his bloody shirt and pulled him forward, holding his face close to Maurice's.
Now, let's see who the rabbit is,
Matt growled in his new, deep voice. But in the next moment, Maurice's hands were clawing at his face, reaching for his eyes, and he had to let go of him. Matt vaulted back, doing a backward somersault, and landed on the other side of the computer table. He crouched, moving in a more animalistic way, almost on all fours. Maurice, on the other hand, held up his hand and focused his eyes on Matt. His eyes widened, and the white in them filled with odd colors.
You're calm. You're tired. Sleep. Sleep!
Matt felt the vampire's mental powers push against his mind. It felt like tendrils going into his brain, grasping for the right switches to push. And he did feel sleepy for a moment, until Cougar cried in his ear, "He doesn't control me! You're mine and not his! Attack!" The drowsiness vanished in a moment, and Matt dug his fingers into the carpet like claws as he leaped forward, going for Maurice's throat. And someone else blocked his jump. Ernst, getting to his feet, threw himself in front of Maurice, and Matt hit him in a body slam that sent them both sprawling to the floor. Matt landed on top of Ernst, and his curled fingers dug into Ernst's neck. The vampire's mouth opened in a scream as he tried to lower his jaw and bite Matt's fingers. Matt saw the blur of an arm to his right, felt a powerful blow to his head, and his vision blacked out for a moment. He struggled to hold on to his own consciousness, but the blow had driven Matt Boyle completely out of the body. There was only Cougar left, and Cougar wasted no moment in holding back. The fingers dug deeper, and suddenly they were inside Ernst's throat, his eyes widening in pain and terror, and there was a terrible, wet, ripping sound that made Matt vaguely think of the sound it made when he tore a drumstick off a turkey during Christmas dinner. Ernst's head came loose from his body in a surprisingly almost bloodless move. There was a snap as his spine was ripped free from his skull, and the body under him lay still. Matt slowly turned his head toward Maurice, who had taken a step back in what Matt could only think was fear. His eyes were big, and the swirling colors had completely left them, making them very large and very dark. Matt felt his mind slowly returning, and even though a large part of him was shocked and terrified of what he had just done, another part of him was thrilled and almost delirious. He had killed a vampire! Matt's eyes, which had turned a bright shade of yellow, although he couldn't see that for himself, fixed on Maurice.
One down, he growled. What do you say, Mr. Rabbit? Ready for round two?
Maurice didn't reply. He turned around, ran two steps, and hurled himself at the window overlooking the backyard. Matt tried to get up in time to block him, but his feet got tangled in Ernst's dead hands. The window shattered with a resounding crash, and Maurice vanished into the evening. When Matt reached the window a second later and looked out, there was no sign of him. He didn't know if vampires could turn themselves invisible. For all he knew, Maurice could turn himself into a bat like Dracula, and he didn't want to pursue him. The cougar strength was beginning to fade, and at the same time, violent nausea made him stagger. He sank into the couch where his friends had sat a few minutes ago, and his hand gripped the comforting shape of his cell phone in his pocket. He pulled it out and pressed the button that called Jim.
Jim? Please, man, I need help. I've just fought Maurice and one of his men. No, I'm okay. They ambushed me at my friend's place. I've killed his, whatever he is, but I need help. There's a headless guy in my friend Brian's living room. What? No, my friends are okay. Sort of. I'll tell you about it when you get here. Just get here fast. 1422 on 42nd by Cabrillo. Hurry!
He hung up, and only a few seconds later the phone rang again. This time it was Andrew's number calling. He answered.
Andrew?
Matt, Andrew's voice said. We need to be careful. Maurice is planning another hit tonight, but not on Jim, on the rest of us.
You don't say.
Andrew heard something in his voice and paused. Are you okay?
Not really. Please get to 42nd and Cabrillo as fast as you can.
Suddenly, Matt felt the urge to vomit. He dropped the phone and made a beeline for the bathroom.
We're on our way,
Andrew said, but Matt didn't hear it. The phone lay dropped on the floor next to Ernst's right hand.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.